measures and black hole entropy formulas, but you should generalize substantially this by relating to entangled measures to action functionals, and it gives you a lot of interesting new clues. And this is a mathematical like correspondence. I think I skip it, I won't be talking about too much, and I would like to give you some speculations. Actually, the the archive paper is just submitted on Friday, so I don't know the number, but I can give you later if you would like to. So this is the main correspondence, as Mike explained, between Bekenstein-Hawking semi-classical entropy formulas and certain multipartite entanglement measures for small number of constituents, either distinguishable or indistinguishable. I will be showing you fermions, for example, in this case. Another aspect of the correspondence, as Mike also explained, there are some mapping between black hole solutions and entanglement classes. There are also dynamical issues, but I will be just touching this. So, usually, the main cause of the black hole qubit correspondence is similar symmetry structures. So, we are studying isomorphic mathematics in some sense. There are similar symmetry structures on both sides of the correspondence. There are, on one side, there are the so-called u-duality groups, and on the other side, the groups of admissible transformations, like the SLOCC group. And the quantities which are left invariant on the one side is the black hole entropy, on the other side, the quantities which are left invariant are entanglement measures. I would like to propose a new idea, stability, which is connected to some action functionals. And this is my main aim of the talk, is just to draw your attention to this. Okay, I would like to consider fermions. And you will see that fermionic systems can be also related to entanglement or to the black hole qubit correspondence. This is the usual notation. You have some fermions with n single particle states, and you can represent this in the usual way, and you can also represent this as a... Okay, but I forgot how to switch this on. This is this. For the pointer. So you can also represent...
It is working.
Push the pointer.
The pointer is that one.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. So you can alternatively represent a multi-fermion state, not in this usual way, with fermion creation operators, but you can represent as multilinear forms. I use this notation, which is much more convenient for to presenting the ideas connected to functionals. So, for example, if you have three fermions with six modes, in this case, you have a quantity here, these are the amplitudes, we have 20 amplitudes in this case. And this is the vacuum, these are fermionic creation operators. Alternatively, the anti-commuting nature of those Fs could be represented by this wedge product, which is just basis vectors in a vector space, which is in this case is six-dimensional. And you can also represent in this way. And these are the SLOCC transformations. In this case, you should have the same transformation in each slot because the particles or the objects, in this case they are abstract objects, seems to behave like fermions, are just the same, so these matrices are the same. These are GL6C objects. And the classification of entanglement types is just finding the orbits under the action of this group. And this is just a trick which is coming from Mats. We did it with my student some time ago, that we can organize the 20 amplitudes of this very special three fermion state with six single particle states. In this way, we have two special numbers and two 3×3 complex matrices. And the observation was, we made, that if you calculate this object, this is a generalization of Cayley's hyperdeterminant for fermions. And interestingly, it has similar properties, and for normalized states, it's having this relationship as well, and it provides a tripartite entanglement measure for three fermions in this case, And you can also mimic the classification of three qubits, what Mike was presenting, in the following way. You will have classes like the GHZ class above here, which this invariant is non-zero. And for this invariant zero, we have the W class, the biseparable class, and the separable class. Notice that the separable class, which is here, is just one Slater determinant. So those wedge products, if you have, you have combinations of Slater determinants, for example, up here, it's 4, and down the last one is just this. This is one Slater determinant. It's also of some interest, especially in the string theoretical context, to use the classification over the real. In this case, we have the real SLOCC group, which is just 6 times 6 invertible matrices with determinant non-zero, and real entries. And then you can have, then the GHZ class splits into two classes, which is one of them is having positive invariant, another is negative. It will be of some interest for us later. Notice that if we use some change of basis, we can, of course, convert those two classes to the usual form of, looks like the GHZ form. Notice that in the second case, these quantities, the E's, are complex conjugate to each other. So this is a complex conjugate linear combinations. And these are really look like GHZ states. And the classification of three fermions with six single particle states, six modes, is really similar to the usual three-qubit state. And it was also shown that the three-qubit case could be embedded into this case in some interesting way, but I haven't time to discuss this. And also, in this case, you get the Cayley hyperdeterminant from this object. And then you can also have, for example, three indistinguishable qubits, or three bosonic qubits, and in this case you get the discriminant. There is an error here, discriminant function dp. Also from here, this is, there is missing that this is positive and the other guy is negative. I don't want to tell you too much about this slide, only that the notion of the stability means that in some sense, if you fix a particular entangled state, and then in the neighborhood of this state, it has some sense to define the neighborhood, there is another state which is SLOCC equivalent to this. So stability means that we have some, that there is a special orbit which is dense. It is a mathematical way of phrasing some of the well-known properties of GHZ states, it turned out. It is basically a mathematical way that among the orbits about the entanglement classes, there is a very special orbit, which is an open orbit, an open dense orbit under the action of the group. This is a mathematical notion well known to mathematicians. In the 70s, Sato and Kimura were classifying all those orbits for irreducible representations of certain groups. And it's interesting, if you look at the paper of the 70s, you will find all the special entangled systems, three qubits, three bosonic qubits, fermionic systems, and all those stuff, which were usually occurring in the quantum information literature. Note this special property here. This is why it's called a prehomogeneous space, because of this property. Stability will play some role later. Now, what about Hitchin's functional? This is a mathematical detour. It's an interesting thing that Hitchin defined a certain invariant. He considered only a real six-dimensional vector space and considered a three-form, which we know three-form could be representative of a fermionic state, a special fermionic state. He considered this 6x6 matrix and took the trace of it, and this is called the Hitchin's invariant. And it turns out that this crazy formula I was giving to you is just this. So the Hitchin invariant is just an entanglement measure, and we know, provided we reinterpret this multilinear form as a fermionic state. This is an invariant, and it has really interesting properties. For example, this 6x6 matrix, properly normalized, gives you an object, the square of which is minus the identity, like the imaginary unit. So it defines the complex structure and the original real vector space. There's another object you can define. This object actually occurred in the papers of Mike and his student. So it's just the Freidenthal dual. There are black holes which are emitting Freidenthal dual. Mike had no time to talk about this. So this is really interesting that this quantity also occurring here. If you look at Hitchin's paper, you will find this as well. And it satisfies a really nice relationship. Later, it will be of some use. But the really interesting thing is the following. If you consider this fermionic state rho and this nonlinear function of rho, and you add them or subtract them, then what you get is a single state of determinant. So these are separable states. So you can form separable states by calculating this crazy nonlinear function. And if you expressing from this equation the original state, then you get the GAs that form. So this is a nice method for just finding the GAs that form of any state belonging to the stable orbit. You just take a row, calculate this nonlinear function, form this, and then you will get the GHZ components. You are in a GHZ class, of course, but the canonical GHZ form is just achieved by using this object. Another thing I mentioned, that there's a complex structure defined, and according to this complex structure, this is a special form, which is having three holomorphic and zero anti-holomorphic indices. In this sense, this picture is just formula is, where is it? This is showing you. Now, we are soon leaving maths. Now, Hitchin defined a functional. So instead of considering fermionic system, he considered differential forms and manifold, and a real manifold. This is very important. And this is a six-dimensional manifold. Mike was explaining you that six-dimensional spaces played an important role. The wrapping configurations and brains and six-dimensional spaces gave rise to a microscopic interpretation of the black hole entropy. So in this case, you take a three form, which is here. And you can regard this as a special fermionic state or a family of fermionic states parameterized by points of the manifold. It's something like this. And then you use this invariant, Hitchin's invariant, which we know it is an entanglement measure as well, and put under this integral sign, and you consider these objects rho as fields. Like in the case of the Maxwell field, you have a tensor with two indices. It's an antisymmetric tensor incorporating the electric and magnetic fields. Now you have the three-index quantity, and you just can look at what happens if you vary this functional. And it turns out that if you restrict to a special class, when those forms are closed, like in Maxwell equations, could be written like D capital F equals zero, and then you are varying within this class of closed forms, it's called a cohomology class, then in this case, you will find that this nonlinear function I was just introducing, the Freidenthal dual, will be closed as well. And then, at the end of the day, you get a form, this capital omega, which we know this is a separable state, as a Slater determinant, a single Slater determinant, which we know as of type 3.0 with respect to this structure I was explaining. Then this will be also closed. The really interesting thing then, the critical points or classical solutions of this functional gives rise to a complex structure and a manifold, and also a non-vanishing, it is called a holomorphic three form. And string theorists use those six-dimensional spaces with a holomorphic three form. These are called the Calabi-Yau manifolds, which were very useful for string theory, and string theorists use them. So the really interesting thing is that Calabi-Yau structures are coming from a functional which is related to an entanglement measure. I would like to argue that this is one reason for the black hole qubit correspondence, that we can build action functionals which are capable of grasping some aspects of string theory, and this is the main reason. Okay, Mike was explaining that if we have extra dimensions, for example, six dimensions, we can have extended objects like strings or brains wrapping around the extra dimensions, and the wrapping configurations will give rise to the microscopic interpretation of black hole's entropy. You can consider three-dimensional objects or three brains and wrapping on six-dimensional objects. And also you can consider scalar fields, as Mike was explaining, which are describing the deformations or the fluctuations of the extra dimensions. You can fluctuate the complex structure of the extra dimension, or in ordinary terms, you can deform by preserving the area, or you can deform the scalar structure, which means deforming, preserving deforming the volume. And this idea mathematically can be described by homology and cohomology classes. Which, so a wrapping configuration can be described by an object like this. And the dual is the cohomology. Is that these are the three forms which were occurring in Hitchin's functional. So we can identify the wrapping configurations with the rows occurring in the Hitchin functional and see what comes up. And in the type 2B picture, this is a technicality where the complex structure deformations are considered. In this case, we have precisely the Hitchin functional, which will be interesting for us. You can form a partition function, which is like this, which is depending on the wrapping configuration. This will describe the black hole. And you identify the particular wrapping configurations dual, the cohomology dual, with this fermionic-like state rho. And you are just making the functional integral for all those things, and here is Hitchin's functional. This idea was suggested by Dekraf and Atoli in string theory, but of course, at that time, nobody suspected the black hole qubit correspondence, so without this interpretation and realizing that this is an entanglement measure direction functional. And they showed that if you are using the semi-classical approximation, using the method of steepest descent, and the critical point there calculate VH at the critical point, then you get the black hole entropy. So this establishes a link between the value of the extremized action based on an entangled measure and the semi-classical Bekenstein-Hawking entropy. But this also gives you a hint at how you can generalize. So maybe this formula gives rise to also obtain quantum corrections to the entropy, because why not stop at the tree level? Formally, it's a formal object. You can try to calculate, and maybe entanglement measure, this entanglement measure gives rise to other interesting terms. So this idea was followed, of course, by string theories. Now, the purpose of my talk is to just to show you that this is connected to entanglement measures. Let me just run through an example, T6, the torus Mike was considering, but now I regard this not as three T2s, or three ordinary torus, but like T6. You can define basis for the cohomology, and you can have a wrapping configuration described mathematically. You can have a fermionic state like here, and identify the charges. These are the charges in this way with the components of rho. Try to calculate the critical point at the critical point of the functional, the Hitchin functional. Build up the separable state or the single slater determinant object, calculate the Freudenthal dual. This is how it looks like. It's really crazy, but you can do this. This is the determinant of the 3x3 matrix. This is trace, and these are the sharp map is just the usual transpose cofactor matrix. You can calculate everything, and then you can find this holomorphic 3-4, and you can really check that if you define those complex coordinates, then you really define complex structure, and you can write it in this way, which is just a holomorphic 3-4. And then the complex structure is given by an explicit expression, which is also known in a theory of so-called Freudenthal systems, but I have no time to explain this. So explicitly you can solve for tau. The complex structure is just describing special deformations of the extra dimensions. And at the end of the day, if you put back to the formula, what you get is just our entanglement measure for 3 fermions, what I started. So you see really that at the semi-classical, lowest semi-classical level, from Hitchin's functional, explicitly for this torus, you get this 3-fermion measure. Of course, if you do what Mike was doing, instead of considering T6, but 3 copies of T2s, then you get the STU model, and then instead of this calligraphic D, you get the usual D, which is scale is hyperdeterminate. Or in the special case, if all the tori having the same complex structure, you have the so-called discriminant function, which is describing three bosonic qubits through indistinguishable qubits. So this result shows that the semi-classical black hole entropy, it can be given as an entanglement measure for fermionic states, and those other states like three qubits or three bosonic qubits can be embedded into it. Now it's a really interesting thing that if you know what is the explicit complex structure, you can write the wrapping configuration in this complex basis in this form, which is, as I explained you, it cannot be seen clearly, it's a G8Z-like state. But if you introduce on this 20-dimensional space a scalar product, it will be a Hilbert space, and you can see that identifying the corresponding coefficients, that these states are orthogonal with respect to. So it's really this cohomology element can be written as an unnormalized GHZ state. Well, the the norm is proportional to the some power of the black hole entropy, and there are some phases which are expressed in terms of the Friedenthal dual of P and the original charge is P. So cohomology classes in some sense could be described by entangled states. This is a very strange thing. Now, you can have quantum corrections, and string theorists use quantum corrections, so why should we start? And at the Bekenstein-Hawking level, might be there are interesting things arising at the quantum corrections. So when Hitchin functional was used, immediately string theorists were trying to check the conjecture of Dekraft and others also at the quantum level, and it turned out that by other techniques of string theory, they have already calculated those quantum corrections and tried to see whether the usual string theoretical methods which were producing results could be achieved also by this Hitchin functional method. The idea was that there is an alternative formulation maybe of a string theory. These are called by Dekraft and others form theories of gravity. And maybe we can also reproduce the quantum corrections. And the result was that not precisely. So you had to use a so-called generalized Hitchin functional. It's really interesting that how they calculated this the quantum corrections, but you have to look at the literature if you are interested in. But the result was that even at the Hitchin functional level, the results were really similar. But they soon realized that perfect agreement can be obtained at one loop level if you modify the Hitchin functional. So there are other functionals then, and other entanglement measures probably, and this is really the case. I'm just giving you a taste of this thing. So the idea is to use polyforms instead of differential forms. As you remember, we use a three form. This is the three form, in this case for Hitchin functional. But we can, it's corresponding to a three fermion state. But you can add also one fermion states and five fermion states. So either you use a polyform of odd degree or you use a polyform of even degree. This corresponds to a fermionic state. And from the Fock space, you are considering an even number or an odd number of fermions. So Hitchin's functional could be generalized also to polyforms. And in this case, in our case, these are forming a 32-dimensional vector space, and which gives you a representation space for this group. And you can generalize this Hitchin functional, which looks a little bit crazy. This is the dictionary. Here you can see this object. This is the vacuum, but it's described in a crazy form, polyform way. And the second guy is just a two fermion state, because we have two objects. This is a four fermion state, and this is a six fermion state. Those objects appearing here are technicalities which I cannot explain here. But the coefficients you have here, one object is an antisymmetric 6x6 matrix, 15 components. This has 15 components. Altogether, we have 32 components, and we can have now 32 components, and we can form an object which is again acting like an entanglement invariant, but for this fermionic-like state. And this is the generalized Hitchin functional. As far as I know, nobody was writing it in this way, because they, in string theory literature, they don't need the explicit form. And you can use the generalized Hitchin functional and repeat the trick. Now you can ask that what will be the structure, because in the previous case it was the complex structure. The critical points of this functional were just describing complex structure. Now what is the critical point of this functional? It turns out Hitchin has shown that the critical points of this functional give you generalized complex structure, and the arising geometric structures are generalized Kolobiev manifolds. In string theory they also use this. You can have this entanglement interpretation of the polyforms, multi-fermionic systems with six modes and definite chirality. And you can also link to Mike Stoke the structure, because if you consider the 56 of E7 and you reduce with respect to this subgroup, then you have a corresponding representation which you will find, and it's precisely this. And you can also map this multi-fermionic system to the tripartite entanglement of 7 qubits, excluding one particular qubit. Mike was not explaining this because he had no time, but you can embed this as well. So there are two different types of interpretations for as an entanglement measure of a very special entangled system. Now, only a few words I would like to say, that there is some nice structure behind those considerations, because there aren't only one Hitchin functional, there are more Hitchin functionals. There's the constraint Hitchin functional, the Hitchin functional is just here, I was talking, there's a generalized Hitchin functional which is capable of describing the quantum corrections as well. And there is one, it's called generalized exceptional geometry, which is connected to. And these objects here are Jordan algebras of 3 times 3 matrices. 5? So these are really interesting objects. These are 3 times 3 matrices with real entries. These are 3 times 3 matrices, symmetric matrices. These are 3 times 3 matrices which are Hermitian, and these are 3 times 3 matrices which are quaternion Hermitian, and these are 3 times 3 matrices which are octonion Hermitian. You can also consider the complexification of this Jordan algebra, and in this case you can build up a structure which is called a Friedenthal system, which is, I can just give you a hint what it is. The basic structure can be seen here. So you have 2 3 times 3 matrices, 2 Jordan algebra elements, and 2 real numbers, or 2 complex numbers if you consider the complexification. So you have 2 numbers and 2 3 times 3 matrices, 2 Jordan algebra elements. So in this case we have 9 plus 9 plus 2 plus 2, so we have 20 charges or objects. And if you go back to here, then you see that this 20 is just reproduced here. So we have 2 Jordan algebra elements, 9 plus 9 gives you 20. If you consider the complexification of 3 times 3 Hermitian matrices, then you will have just ordinary 3 times 3 complex matrices, and 2 real numbers, so at the end of the day you will have 20. The invariance group, it is invariant under SL6C, which is up to a determinant, is just the SLOCC group I was just describing fermions. And the quartic invariant, there is a quartic invariant associated with such Friedenthal systems, is just the Hitchin's invariant. Could be shown. You can consider the real version of this, then you get what is the constraint Hitchin functional. The generalized Hitchin functional is corresponding to the complexification of this case, and this is our group I was just describing, and this is the generalized Hitchin. And now Mike's example about the E7 could be related to the Hitchin-like functional, which is describing what in string theory is called generalized exceptional geometry. So you see a nice picture. And those functionals are all related to the notion of stability, because you can vary, you can formulate a variational problem. So this is based on special stable orbits. And those stable orbits are related to those prehomogeneous vector spaces I was just showing you. So these are a really interesting picture that we should relate really entanglement action function functionals to entanglement measures, and this could be the reason for the black hole qubit correspondence. And concluding, I give you the conclusions. So the invariants underlying the Hitchin functionals are entanglement measures for specially entangled systems. The second point, the non-degenerate class of stable orbits corresponds to the GHZ-like states of maximum entanglement in some sense. Unlike in conventional treatments, so the subjects when entanglement measures are directly related to the Bekenstein-Hawking or semi-classical entropy formulas, we have shown that it is more natural to connect those entanglement measures to action functionals. And from such functionals, one can recover the usual correspondence with the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy merely at the semi-classical level. And let me give you a few words about this, because it could give you some clue to the physical basis. Maybe it's so there is a conjecture of Ogori, Strominger and Woffa, which is basically the black hole partition function could be related to a topological version of string theory. And now we have a new ingredient, according to the conjecture of Dekraf and others. You can have the second equation. So if you have this chain of equations, you can relate the generalized Hitchin functional and the entanglement measures to this topological string theory. So there could be some physical connection arising from this through this OSV conjecture. And this could be the physical reason, and we should look at this. So the last thing is that via the OSV conjecture, this interpretation also hints that one can use the black hole qubit correspondence beyond the semi-classical level. And the last idea is that this approach suggests that one does not have to assume the underlying manifold to be furnished with special holonomy structure from the start. What does it mean? In the Hitchin functional, we were not assuming Kalabuyev structure from the start. Kalabuyev structure was coming out from this. So all those structures are special holonomy, because Kalabuyev manifolds have special holonomy, which string theorists postulate, are coming out of those functionals. So it's a really interesting idea that all those special structures which play a key role in string theory are coming out from some functional, and of course it is well known that they are coming out, but what was not known that these are related to entanglement measures through the notion of stability. So these structures arising as critical points of functionals are coming from measures of entanglement. So it deserves some attention to look at those coincidences, because it could be really interesting to produce this way of looking at the problem. Thank you very much.